My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be back with you guys on this wonderful Friday for the next couple of days. I'm like Jason Derulo. I'm riding solo. Now, I've got Quentin with me. But Quentin ain't Rob, you know what I mean? Rob knows where the bodies are buried. Rob's my ride or die. Quentin would turn on me in an instant. He gets offered a full-time job by Jason Anderson. He's out of here. I know Rob got my back. I know me and Rob are taking it to the very, very end. I don't know Quentin. I don't trust Quentin. So it's a little bit different. But he's here. He's holding it down. He's doing his best. He has on a parka, even though it's 97 degrees outside. It's a lot going on today behind the scenes on The Drive. Quentin, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing fine. You know, I thought we had a bonding moment earlier, you know, and we'll get to our bonding moment later into the show. But I thought we were getting close and he'd throw me under the bus. Not once, but twice.
So we are going to do a segment that we've never done before on this show. We are breaking new grounds today. I don't know how it came up. I don't know how it started. But Quentin, you're what, 22, 23, Quentin? How old are you?
24.
He is 24 years old, which is surprising because we went through Quentin's Spotify and he had the Spotify of someone who was 51 years old. Quentin had never seen a 90s talk show before. So Quentin and I'm not joking to you guys, today for show prep, Quentin and I watched Ricky Lake together. Just watched the episode together. We're talking. He's asking questions. I told him, hey, take notes. We'll talk about this later on the show. But can you imagine just going back in time? Some of you, I'm 35. Some of you are older than me. Can you imagine your first time seeing a 90s talk show and you're not 7 or 8 like most of us? You know, I grew up on a little Montel Williams, Ricky Lake, Jenny Jones, Sally, Jesse F. I grew up on this stuff. He's asking me questions like, why are they in the crowd? That's part of the show. That's a standard procedure during these talk shows. So we'll talk about Quentin's experience, his first ever time watching a 90s talk show. We'll get to that. There's so much to get into. I'm actually in a baseball mood today. We will start with baseball kind of coming up here in just a bit. I think you guys know where we have to start today's show. But before we do any of that, we got to do this.
That's right. It is pizza time on The Drive.
Hold on. Turn the music down. Can you give me some enthusiasm for giving away the pizza? Do you want the pizza? Can I get some enthusiasm? Hey, we just want to give you guys a chance to get a free pie and hope you guys know. Quentin, I need you to start over and I need you to give me the energy necessary to make it seem like this is the big deal, that you want to be here. So we will talk about the Royals and their stadium and the Chiefs and Laura Kelly and all of that coming up. But before we do any of that, take it away, Quentin.
That is right. It is pizza time on The Drive. We are going to talk about Pizza Tassio's best New York style pizza. that has taken over Kansas City, and now the new Waldo location is open for business. Pizza Tassio's lovingly uses 100% whole milk, mozzarella, and all organic tomato sauce, all locally grown, fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who know and love pizza. Along with the new spot in Waldo, Pizza Tassio has locations in OP, Lee Summit, Midtown, North Kansas City, St. Joe, and Lawrence. Pizza Tassio has a killer selection of craft and local beers and unique wines. Whether it's slices or whole pies, order now at pizzatassio.com. That's PIZZATASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me three things today. Number one, I need you to tell Quentin hello. Congratulate Rob on getting married. I also need you to tell Quentin what your favorite 90s TV show was. I also need you listening each day at 2 o'clock. That would benefit me greatly. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. Just tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in town and you also want to stay up to date on everything, the best place to do that in Kansas City is, you guessed it, right here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. So I have been off for the last couple of days, not by choice, but just the way the schedule had broke. Wednesday was Juneteenth. Yesterday, the Royals had a day game. They did win that game, as a matter of fact. And now I have returned. Let me read to you guys a couple of things that have happened since the last time that you and I had a chance to catch up with each other. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly signed off on a bill that clears the way for Kansas to explore using star bonds to help fund stadium projects as lawmakers try to lure the Chiefs and Royals across state line. That is written by the fine people over at KSHB 41 News. This is from Laura Kelly. Quote, "This bill allows for star bonds to fund up to 70% of a stadium project, among other things. Quote, we know that modernizing our economic development tools provides the opportunity to increase private investment in our state by modifying our star bonds program, one of our strongest economic development mechanisms. Lawmakers are creating a viable option for attracting professional sports teams to Kansas." She also said, quote, "I pledge to work with members of both parties on policies that are beneficial for our state of Kansas. The bipartisan effort to invite the Chiefs and Royals to Kansas show we're all in on keeping our beloved teams in the Kansas City Metro. Kansas now has the opportunity to become a professional sports powerhouse with the Chiefs and Royals potentially joining Sporting Kansas City as major league attractions, all with robust revenue-generating entertainment districts surrounding them, providing new jobs, new visitors, and new revenues that boost our state economy." As I read this, I think back to the conversation that we had on Tuesday and how Missouri is handling this. On one side, on the Kansas side of the coin, I see them understanding that we have a chance for a generational opportunity. You've never had a realistic chance at attracting the Chiefs or Royals to your side of the state because of a bunch of different things and a bunch of different reasons. You now find yourself with an opportunity to do something that you have never had the opportunity. So it is in everybody's best interest. I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. We should be on the same side about coming together and doing something for our state. If Missouri is going to fumble the bag, and it looks like at least in the first quarter, maybe we're in the second quarter, however you want to classify it for this game, it feels like they are dropping the ball. So Kansas is coming in and picking it up, and they are saying, hey, you might not want them to move, but it's better us in this conversation than Nashville in this conversation or San Antonio trying to poach the Chiefs. It is better for us to be the ones that are coming in here trying to save you guys than you allow an outsider to do this. Politics are happening right before us. You can't be mad at that. The game is the game. And when you hear the comments from Frank White, when you hear the comments from Mayor Quinn Lucas, one side is preaching this kumbaya. Hey, we're all on the same page. Hey, we want the same thing here. And from the Kansas side, from the challenger, you are hearing a, hey, we got a chance to do something. Like, this sentence is powerful to me. Kansas now has the opportunity to become a professional sports powerhouse with the Chiefs and Royals potentially joining Sporting Kansas City as major league attractions. You could have ended the sentence there. They put a comma. We got more to say. all with robust revenue-generating entertainment districts surrounding them with new jobs, new visitors, and new revenues that boost our state economy. If you come here, we want you to get out that airport that's in Missouri. We don't want you stopping anywhere along the way in Missouri. We want you coming over here to our entertainment district. To hell with Zona Rosa over there. We want you to drive right past that, come to our state, stay at our hotels, shop at our stores, eat in our restaurants. We want you to enjoy your time while you're in the metro on this side of state line, and then you go back over there to fly home. And sports is a driving force for that economic growth. We got a chance to become a professional sports powerhouse. We got a chance to get the most popular NFL team right now, a baseball team on the Royals that appear to be on the up and up, look like they could make the postseason. They've got one of the young generational stars. We've got one of the most successful MLS programs on our side of state line. We are ready to do business. Kansas has shown you their hand. It's a strong hand. I mean, they can pay for maybe 70% of the new stadium. I mean, that stadium, it ain't going to be cheap. It's going to probably be in the $2.5 billion range because you got to factor overages. I mean, if Allegiant Stadium was 1.92, put a little bit of sauce on it, you're at 2.2, 2.5. That's not unrealistic. And Kansas is telling you we think we could come up with 75% of that. I think this is much more of a Chiefs argument than a Royals argument. I've thought that from the very beginning. They really want the NFL. If you have the NFL, NASCAR, a new shopping district around it, you won if you're Kansas. You'll take the Royals. It'd be great to have them. Hey, we'll take that 81 game, the traffic, you coming over here. What we really want to be in business with is the NFL. That's what you've really been angling for. You've been making that play with Clark Hunt for 5-6 years now. You've always kind of been in the back lurking, letting you know, hey, if anything fails over on that side, we got you over on this side. We're ready to make a deal. We're ready to make that happen. And then I'm wondering about what my side's going to do. I'm a proud Missouri resident, 816 through and through. I've never lived anywhere else in my entire life than in the state of Missouri. Even when I went to college, I wasn't considering going to school over there. I'm from Missouri. Can I read you guys a story? Quentin, maybe you hadn't even heard this story. Let me read this to you. A Missouri Senate candidate faces allegations he assaulted the vice chair of the Jackson County Republican Party during a debate of an overflowing toilet. I'm going to read this again because maybe you guys missed what I just said to you. Maybe, you know, somebody just honked at you and you just weren't paying attention to what I said. This is in the Kansas City Star. This was yesterday. Candidate accused of assaulting Jackson County GOP vice chair in clogged toilet fight. These are the people that we have entrusted to keep the Chiefs and the Royals on my side of state line. They fighting over who blew up the bathroom. That's what they're fighting over. One side is preparing for war. One side is calling Roto-Rooter. That's what we're dealing with right now. This is the kind of incompetence we got on the Missouri side. One team is getting their star bonds together, getting their money right. And the other team is fighting over a toilet. Listen to this story. This is not believable. A Missouri Senate candidate faces allegations he assaulted the vice chair of the Jackson County Republican Party during a dispute over an overflowing toilet. David Martin, a Republican in a three-way primary for Senate District 11, is alleged to have punched Teresa McBride, the county party vice chair, in the back during a Father's Day appreciation that Martin held at party headquarters in Blue Springs last Saturday. It then goes on. Listen to this. Blue Springs police responded a little bit before 3 p.m. and issued Martin a citation. It then goes on. According to the story, Martin told the officer he had reserved party headquarters for a barbecue and that one of the guests had clogged the building's toilet, causing an overflow into the meeting hall and onto the carpet. The guest isn't identified in the report. They literally can't get their shit together. But just what is happening? This is mind-blowing to me. These are our heroes. These are the people that we have entrusted. This is nonsense. You guys are supposed to keep the Chiefs and the Royals.
And they punched him in the back. In the back.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to calm down. I'm sorry. I just can't believe that these are our heroes. I can't believe that these are the people that we voted for. I can't believe that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. It's The Drive.
Kansas City, it's Isaiah Pacheco. You're listening to The Drive with Keraton Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. You know what? I'm in a better spirit. I got some water. Calm down. I'm not going to let these Missouri senators get me all hot and bothered and their cluelessness. They're smacking chairs. They're clogging up toilets. It's just nonsense.
You're revving back up. Take a deep breath. Drink some of that water.
It's just nonsense over on their side of state line. I don't want to be associated with them. I really don't. I don't want to be associated with them. But that's my team. You know what I mean? I gotta ride with them. I got to ride with the home team here. We're down. If this is a four-quarter game, we're down. I don't know what the score would be in a football sense. It feels like we're down 13-3. You know, it feels like we're down 13. It's a lot of football left. Kansas is driving again, though. They're looking to put another touchdown on the board. They could run away with this thing. That's sort of what it feels like. All right, on a very serious note, I would like to talk to you guys about last night's baseball game. And I don't mean last night's baseball game and the Royals baseball game. I'd like to talk to you about the Rick Wood game from Birmingham, Alabama. Now, I watched basically all of the pregame show and probably the first four or five innings of the game. It is very, very rare that I can sit here and give baseball an A-plus for how they handle the television side of things. They're great on the radio. Baseball is perfect still in stadium. There is still something very majestic, magical about going to a baseball game and participating in the seventh inning stretch and the hot dog derby and all the things that come with going to a Major League Baseball game. They are the worst on television of any of the sports that we follow. Part of what makes the NFL so special is they build up drama on TV. From the moment the week is over, what they are constantly doing for the next week is telling you how important this next game is and how you cannot miss it. It can be a week four game between the Bills and the Dolphins. They will make you think that that is the most important thing that is happening, and you are wrong if you are not watching it. They sell you drama constantly over the course of the week where they make that one game feel like it's super important. Now, I understand that the volume of games is going to change this and baseball will never be able to match that. But what I saw baseball do yesterday is baseball made you feel like a regular season game mattered. And more so than just the emphasis on it, what I saw yesterday was baseball and also America, all rolled up into one. There are so many good things about baseball. The history, the nostalgia, the storytelling aspect of it. I love the NFL. I love basketball. There is nothing like a great baseball story. The slowness and the pace of the game allows you to tell stories in a very different way. We are fortunate for a man like Bob Kendrick. where we can hear his stories about the game of baseball. Bob Kendrick, who never went to a Negro Leagues game, did not play. He will tell you the story in a way that makes you feel like you were sitting right there in the dugout in the middle of it. Baseball has a very special way of telling a story and painting a narrative that the other sports don't have. That's what I saw them do yesterday, and I saw them committed to doing that yesterday. They were telling a story for an hour and a half. They were telling you the good of baseball. They were telling you the history of it. We got to see Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds on the field at the same time. We got to see current players wheeling Negro Leagues players onto the field in that game. That's part of you telling the story. That's celebrating the history, the nostalgia of baseball. It was amazing. Maybe this is different because of where we live, and I get that. But there was some kid around the country that asked, hey, what's the Negro Leagues? That's different. If you grew up in Kansas City, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's an elementary school named after Satchel Paige. There's a baseball stadium named after Satchel Paige. The Negro Leagues Baseball Museum is 15 minutes from the stadium. You know about the Negro Leagues. There's some kid right now in California that found out about it yesterday for the first time. And when you ask that question, you got to be willing to tell that kid the truth. Why the Negro Leagues existed, how we got here, why the Negro Leagues is important. At some point, when you explain to your kid who Jackie Robinson is, you have to explain why Jackie Robinson is so important. That's not just baseball history, that's American history. And what I thought baseball did yesterday is baseball is a lot of the good things, a whole lot of the good things. It's also some of the bad things, too. It is about racism. The story is about segregation. That's just not a baseball story. That's an American story. And I thought Fox did a perfect job of explaining that yesterday on television. But I don't just think it's those two things that are part of baseball's story. It obviously is the good things. It is to buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. It is getting a hot dog and a beer and going out to the game. It is racism. It is segregation. One thing I want to say before we move on, there was stories yesterday that I learned that I never heard before. I learned about a man yesterday. His name is Bill Greeson. Maybe you never heard this man before. Maybe you have. This man is 99 years old. Can you imagine living a 99 years old? Quitting, that's like 70 more years for you. I'm serious, I'm not even joking. 70 more years for you. This man is 99 years old. He is the oldest living Negro League baseball player. One thing that I hate that we do in American society is we make this stuff feel like it happened so long ago. No, you can still talk to these people. Hank Aaron played in the Negro Leagues. He played in the Negro Leagues. Willie Mays played in the Negro Leagues. People that played in the Negro Leagues are still alive. You can hear their stories. So he's the oldest living Negro Leagues player. He grew up across the street from Martin Luther King Jr. He was at the Battle of Iwo Jima. He has been a pastor for 53 years at a church. You might not have known this, Quentin. That church that he was the pastor of, it's been bombed three times. Three times. This is a part of American history. You have to tell this story. I thought they did that yesterday. But so it's the good stuff. It's the racism part. Part of baseball's history also is steroids. As much as they try to fight it, it is a part of their story. You know what I saw them do? I saw them celebrate Barry Bonds. Baseball has tried to act for the last 5, 6, 10 years that Barry Bonds never happened. I have a video of this. It's in my phone. I'll show it to you, Quentin. I don't think you've seen it before. I went to Oracle Park last year, and I kind of wanted to walk around. I wanted to see all the Barry Bonds stuff. I wish I could show you guys. I'll post it. How they had his display out in left field. They had cleaning supplies on it. I'm serious. They had cleaning supplies. It was like Barry Bonds never played for the San Francisco Giants. When Barry Bonds built you that park, part of the mystique of it is that Barry Bonds played here. I imagine if you asked somebody like Jeff Passan, I got all the respect in the world for Jeff Passan. If you had asked Jeff Passan 10 days ago, who's the greatest living baseball player? I believe his answer would have been Willie Mays. I believe if you ask him today, hey, now that Willie Mays has passed, who is the greatest living baseball player? I think he would tell you Barry Bonds. He might tell you Ken Griffey Jr. There's maybe a couple other possible answers. There's not that many. I think he would tell you that it's Barry Bonds. They had Barry Bonds on the pregame yesterday. They had Barry Bonds on the pregame. He's answering questions about Satchel Paige. He's sitting next to Derek Jeter. He's sitting next to David Ortiz. They're asking Barry Bonds questions before the game. Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds are on the field helping celebrate this occasion. Baseball, just like America, you cannot run from your history no matter what people tell you. And what we have seen baseball try to do is they try to act like basically my childhood didn't happen. I remember Mark McGwire. I remember Sammy Sosa. I remember the enthusiasm I felt and every day wanting to know if Barry Bonds, if Mark McGwire, if Sammy Sosa had hit another home run. You can't tell me that didn't happen. So I know you guys now have this great moral compass when it comes to your museum. I don't know how baseball, of all places, now can have this great moral compass, but they do. When they've had cheating scandals, racism, now we can play this moral code when it comes to who can be in your little museum. I'm telling you that it's hard for people like me to take your museum seriously if you are not incorporating people like Barry Bonds. If you are not incorporating people like Sammy Sosa, you are not incorporating people like Mark McGwire. I get it. They cheated. These are the same people that benefited and profited and sold us baseball as much as we could take. In 1998 and in 2001 and in 2004, they sold us all of this stuff. Now that the party is over and we've moved on, now we can act like it didn't happen. No, it happened. I remember. I was there. I saw it. It just felt good yesterday that they just acknowledged that Barry Bonds exists, that he's around. And maybe he won't go in the Hall of Fame. He probably won't go into the Hall of Fame. But you know what's going to happen? One day Barry Bonds is going to die. The same way that Willie Mays died. And you know what? We're going to look back and think, man, that guy was really good at baseball. He was incredible at baseball. And I would hate for us to look back and just, oh, man, well, he may be cheated. He may be. I don't care about that. Maybe you guys care about that, and you're more than welcome to care about it. I don't care about that. I really don't. I'm just happy yesterday that I thought baseball, for really the first time that I can remember, I thought it just celebrated all of what it is, and not just the good parts. It's easy to do the Hall of Fame game. It's easy to do the Field of Dreams game. It's super easy to do that. You have Kevin Costner. You have people coming out of the cornfields. It's a layup if you're baseball. It's really hard to give Reggie Jackson the lane that you gave him yesterday to say things like this on your airwaves.
How emotional is it for you to come back to a play that you played with one of the greatest teams around?
Alex, when people ask me a question like that, it's like, coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person. You think you won when you played here and conquered. I said, you know, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, the can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, the can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager, Johnny McNamara, that if I couldn't eat in the place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay.
That was Reggie Jackson. I would highly encourage you to go on there and listen to it. I mean, they let Reggie Jackson go. I didn't play all of it. I mean, they let Reggie Jackson talk for about 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes about this. I mean, to a national audience, to tell you the truth. And again, I hate the fact that we as an American society try to make it act like this was such a long time ago. Reggie Jackson's baseball career started in 1967, and his final appearance was in 1987. Some of you were alive when Reggie Jackson played. Reggie Jackson played against George Brett. He played in the 80s. Like, I mean, it was a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago. Reggie Jackson is not that older than some of our grandparents. Like, this is not some ancient history that you only can hear about it in books. No. Go ask your grandparents about this stuff. They can tell you a lot of people can tell you stories very, very similar to the ones that Reggie Jackson had yesterday on the television broadcast. So I got a lot of respect for Reggie Jackson. I got a lot of respect for really everything that I thought they did in the Rick Wood game. I thought it was A+. They had a half inning where they showed the game in black and white. They showed it like it was in 1954. Baseball don't ever do cool stuff like this. Baseball just treats its product like, it's Tuesday. Hey, we're just going to meet up. We're going to play baseball. And I mean, hey, whatever happens, happens. That's how they treat the sport a majority of the time. We need more moments, more instances where they treat baseball like it's special. So earlier today, I had the opportunity. I filled in on SiriusXM. I was on Adam Schein's show. Love Adam Schein. Great guy. I felt bad, Quentin, that I had to disagree with Adam Schein. I felt bad. Because I like Adam. I really do. Adam, Syracuse grads. A lot of my dearest friends are Syracuse grads. Nick went to Syracuse. Danny went to Syracuse. A lot of other people I met along the way went to Syracuse. I like Adam. But when you're wrong, you're wrong.
I do have a bone. When the hell is Rob Manfred going to get rid of this damn ghost room? This is an embarrassment. It's a carnival act. It's a disgrace. This is basically the kindergarten approach to Major League Baseball. There's nothing that infuriates me more than when you have a gimmick in extra innings. And this is the second time the Yankees have been locked in. And I always tweet this before the result, okay? I always tweet this before the result. I did it last night with the Yankees Orioles. I did that Friday night when I was at the stadium for Yankees Dodgers. You have an intense baseball game. Fans don't leave. Great baseball game. Pitching, defense, timely hitting, everything that goes into the equation. And here it is. Runner on second base. It is the dumbest thing ever. It makes the touchback rule in the NFL look like it's the greatest rule in the history of sports. I mean, what a joke. Why? Why would you do this? What, are we going to have a slam dunk contest in overtime to decide an NBA regular season game? I mean, what's next here? What's next? Why do you hate baseball, Rob Manfred? Why? Why?
I love Adam. Adam's my guy. Sometimes I got to disagree with your take. I'm sure that I have takes that he disagrees with. This is the thing about the extra inning rule. I don't disagree that it's gimmicky. It's 100% a gimmick. This is the thing, though. The game is over. It's over. You get 9 innings to win the game, quote, fairly. We've all signed up for those rules. Hey, you get 9 at-bats. We get 9 innings. You get 9 innings. We all get 27 outs. We're going to figure out who the best team is. We're going to play with the same umpires. We get it. You had 9 innings to win the game. You didn't win. We could just end it. Hey, the game's over. Thanks. We could end in ties. Or we could come up with another system to keep giving you an opportunity so somebody can leave here a winner and somebody could leave here a loser. No one liked, I don't want to say nobody. I hated the old system. I hated it. I do not want to be here for the 13th, 14th inning. I don't even care who wins at this point. The Royals, Cardinals, Yankees, I do not care. It's the 14th inning. Get this game over with. Only baseball fans want to sit here all day. The rest of us got things to do. I'm not trying to sit here for this nonsense. It's the 13th inning. Somebody win. So if they give you a little push, a little tap, so we go ahead and get this thing over with, then good. Now, I don't want this in the postseason. It's not in the postseason. But for a middle of June baseball game when it's 97 degrees outside, bro, let's hurry this up. It's a Saturday night. It's 9:30. Just wrap this bad boy up. Flip a coin for all I care. I'm ready to go home. I love the ghost rule. I really do. Now, I don't know if I'm considered a casual baseball fan. I mean, maybe. I'm a hardcore casual. Maybe that's the way to put it. You know what I love about baseball now? They get this thing moving. You purist and historic baseball fans, you love them standing around and looking outside and scratching themselves and playing with the rosin bag. And, bro, step up to the plate. Let's swing. Let's get this game. Let's get this thing moving. They finally done that. It's great. Now, there's got to be sacrifices. And you know what the sacrifice is? You don't get the fairest overtime. You know, it's called overtime. You've gone over your time. You had 9 innings to win the game. You did not win the game. We are going to be kind enough to give you a bonus chance to win the game. We're giving you a bonus. How is this different than college football's overtime? You guys tell me how much you love college football's overtime. College football's overtime is the most video game gimmicky. We're going to give you the ball at the 20. You got to go for 2-point conversion. It is the most gimmicky thing, and people tell me they love it. So either you like gimmicks or you don't like gimmicks. I don't have any problems with this. I really don't. I don't have any problem with it. Let's speed this bad boy up. You on second base? Let's go. Hurry up. Let's win this game. You had your chance to win it. You had more than enough at bats. Aaron Judge, you've had 5 times to hit. How many chances we got to give you to hit? You guys have scored 2 runs today. You obviously need our help. That's why we had to put somebody on second base. Let's try to get this thing over with. Let's wrap this up. All right, coming up in a bit, I do want to tell you guys that Quentin watched his first 90s talk show. I want him to give you his reaction to his 90s talk show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got Matt Verderame of Sports Illustrated. Keep it right here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive.
This is MJ Melendez, and you are listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Tell you something that may end up being controversial, and that's fine. Coaching is a little bit overvalued, just a little bit. I'm not going to tell you it's not important, but you know what? I think for the most part, these coaches have a very similar knowledge and access to information. I think there's other reasons of why some coaches are more successful than other coaches, and we can get into it. I bring that up because the Los Angeles Lakers hired J.J. Redick today. Now, we're not going to go into a deep dive Laker topic, but follow me here. I think that J.J. Redick has a chance to be a good coach. I really do. If J.J. Redick is a good coach, it will be because of these 3 things. Let's get into it. Number one. The Lakers are old. The league is young. Look at the teams that are good in the NBA. Even if you don't follow the NBA, all the players that you can name are under 30 years old, other than LeBron. LeBron's about to be 40. LeBron is at the point, you know how you've probably said this to somebody, man, I'm old enough, I could have been your parent. LeBron is literally old enough to be one of their parents and is about to be one of their parents and still in the league. literally about to be that. The league is 30-somethings. Look at Boston that just won the championship. Look at Dallas that was just in the NBA Finals. Look at Minnesota. Look at Oklahoma City. Look at the teams that you think are good and can really do something. They're all young. How are the Lakers going to get younger and more talented? They don't got the pieces. So that's number one, like the talent part of it, right? No one debates that. And if you're going to do great things, you need great players. I don't think that's some controversial statement. This is why I think coaching is overrated. Coaching, like most jobs where you're in upper management, is about how you connect with people. Yes, Andy Reid is an incredible X's and O's coach. You want to know Andy's greatest strength is? People like him. And if people like you when you're in charge and they feel like you have their best interests, they'll listen to you. And you can get them to believe in you and work together and be the best version of themselves. That really, really matters. Now, again, I'm not saying that Andy is not great with the X's and O's and great with it. I'm going to guess there are some other coaches that are probably as good at Andy as those things. They just are really, really bad with people. We've seen people like that before. I think Scott Pioli as a football executive is really good. I think he's really bad with people. And if you're really bad with people, it's really hard to have success when you are in a people business. Sometimes I think we confuse whatever business you're in. I don't care if it's radio. I don't care if it's sales. I don't care if you're a coach. You are in the people business. And if you can't connect with people, it's tough to have success. Can J.J. Redick connect with people? Can you do that? If you can do that, you got a chance to have a lot of success. And then a lot of it is just feel for the game. A lot of it is feel for the game. How do you manage timeouts? How do you manage substitutions? Do you call the right play at the right time? It's just feel. And that's something you just gain over time. You guys remember when Andy was really bad at clock management? You remember that? He was really bad at it. He eventually just got the talent to overcome what his deficiencies were. You remember that? Andy was really bad at challenges for a time. You just got more people around. Like, it's feel for the game. So I'm not here telling you that J.J. Redick is going to be Phil Jackson. I have absolutely no clue. I doubt that he won't be. I don't think he'll be Phil Jackson. But I just think we overrate how hard it is to be a coach. I think for the most part, these coaches are on a very, very similar. They're all watching film. They're all breaking things down. I think it is a people business. And do you get people to believe in you? Can you evaluate talent? I'll never forget this. This is one of those experiences in my career I will never, ever forget. When you do this, you just spend more time around college coaches. And when you're around them more, you can see why they're successful at recruiting. So, Quentin, this was maybe right when I started hosting On the Air middays, and Danny and I were at Big 12 Media Day. So Bill Self, he was our first guest. When Danny and I first moved to afternoons, so maybe this was what we were doing afternoons, he was our first guest. We got Bill Self. The only time we've ever had Bill Self on this show was the very first show that we had. I then saw Bill Self that next basketball season. I saw Bill Self in person. And I'm telling you that I'm 23, 24. Bill Self treated me like we were long-lost friends. He came up to me. He recognized me. He knew my name. He shook my hand, was like, anything you need. And I left thinking there, like, I was like, wow. It got me. Honestly, it got me. It was cool. And then I kind of snapped out, and I was like, oh, that's how Bill does it. That's how Bill does it. I can see how if you're a 16-year-old kid and you're playing basketball and Bill Self comes up to you and tells you how good you are and how he would love for you to come out to Kansas and see the facilities, I can see why you go there. And then you get there and then they show you how cool it is. They take you on Mass Street. They take you to the Hawk. They take you to this thing. They show you the facilities. They show you the championships. They show you late night, the fog. Where else are you going to go play basketball at? I'm going to play basketball for him. I'm going to play basketball there. You start to see it, you start to understand it. Now, Bill is great at some things. Bill is great in out-of-bounds plays, great after timeout. Bill stuff obviously has a lot of coaching strengths. Bill's so good because he is, remember that scene in Goodfellas where they show where Henry walks through the room and everybody knows who he is and how he's tipping the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold? That's how Bill Self is. That is his aura. That is his mystique. That's how it works. I think we overestimate the X's and O's part of it, and I think we underestimate the how do you connect with people part of the job, which is, to me, the most important.
It's a people-driven business, especially when you're directly dealing with grown men playing a sport that for a lot of these, well, for all these guys, they've been playing that for not just their adult lives, but growing up, that's what they've done. And if you cannot handle grown men who are star athletes and are talented, then you're not going to be successful. And then the other part, which you brought up, is the art of delegation. Being able to feel comfortable giving up some of the work to other people to be able to trust them. And I think that's what, you know, when we talk about the other Bill, well, I guess that used to be in sports, Bill Belichick, that was something that he really struggled with. It's what ultimately ended up getting him out of the Patriots, is that he could not delegate the other side of the business. He could not give up going after the general manager role, and he could not give up some of the other defensive role stuff, and that's what ended up getting him kicked out of the NFL, because it bypassed him. If he would have been able to do what Andy Reid has been able to do, which is recognize your deficiencies and then kick it off to somebody else, there's a good chance that Bill Belichick is still in the NFL today.
Can you imagine right now if you were dating somebody Bill Belichick's age?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm saying there's somebody your age that is doing that right now. I'm just saying. You and Bill shouldn't be into the same kind of girls. So I'm just going to go ahead and go out on that limb. When were you born?
99.
Okay. I'm just saying, you and Bill shouldn't be into the same kind of girls.
You're absolutely right.
If you don't remember TRL, you and Bill should not be into the same kind of gals. And you and Bill are dating the same kind of girls right now. So congrats. You have the same taste as Bill Belichick.
Stop it. Stop.
I'm just telling you. I'm going out there and I'm going on that limb. And I'm telling you that you and Bill have the same taste. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Matt Verderame of Sports Illustrated. We're going to talk some football. It's a football Friday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.